Heavenly Father, we come to your presence this evening by the blood of Jesus. We confess our sins, and so we claim the blood from all unrighteousness. Father, as we gather here, we are grateful. Thank you for the prayers of the fathers that has created this atmosphere for us to gather. Thank you, Father, for always honoring us with your presence, even as we gather. Not because we deserve it, but because you have just chosen to dwell amongst us. We do not take it for granted. I come, Lord, under the authority of said spiritual fathers, in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and the bishop of my soul. Father, I consciously strip myself of every confidence that my head has, my knowledge or ability to share. I place all my confidence afresh in your mercies, in the grace of the Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit, to enable me to bring a word in season to strengthen and to encourage us. I ask for help, Holy Spirit. Let your God go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort, and in the love of the Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and lives, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened by revelation that comes from the Word, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Also ask for grace to redeem the time out to say things that are necessary. Lord, Holy Spirit, I set you at my right hand. Thank you for giving me what to say in this hour. Blessed be your name, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the opportunity to share once again. I do not take it for granted. And I also want to honor my parents, Pastor and Mommy. Even though they are not here, I thank them for the privilege to share. And all they've taught us all these years, everything seems to be coming together. You know, every coming to years. You see, if you meditate on the words, like Pastor said some time ago, I think he said something like, it's as if what we are hearing now, they are just things to refresh our minds. You see, as this, we finished, so to speak, in not out of pride, the syllabus, you know, when you studied basics, everything, in principle. So what we are just doing now is that we're just, the exams have come, you know, and we are doing the exams, you know, are just being refreshed and everything, and we're expecting the results, you know, which is the manifestation of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. So as I was waiting on God, trusting for something. Thank you very much. After some time, you know, the fire kind of just went down and was like an occasional thing. You know, in fact, God would tell me at times, go and talk to this person. And I was, God, why not? I should be a weakness with my conduct, which is true. But there's this aspect that God wants us to take very serious. Why? Because we are in the season of the harvest. And as I was coming back there, God, the scripture flashed to me about Solomon in his reign. You know, there were two women that gave birth to two sons, one, you know, and one slept on his own child. But while the other one slept, we were both sleeping, the other one woke up earlier and took the other baby. What am I saying? We are praying every day, we are traveling, and we are giving birth, but must not be asleep in that area, or else Babylon will take that child. Lord just whispered to me as I stood there. You see, we are praying. We know the technology. We know what God needs to do. But is that, he said, how shall they believe except they be sent? I said, how somebody has to tell them. There's that aspect of telling people. Which I think, I'll talk about myself, that I've omitted. And I believe God wants us to look into this area. So as I sat down, Lord spoke to me. This scripture came to me, and I says that in book of the title of the message is doing the work of an evangelist. Let's say it together, doing the work of an evangelist. You see, this was what Paul told Timothy. And if you look at it, when I began to look at that scripture properly, I began to understand. He didn't say that Timothy was an evangelist, but said do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. If a pastor comes and says, Pastor D, Pastor Andrew is not around, but I want you to help me handle the choir. That does not make the choir master. Are you following me? So that's what our Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read from verse 1. You see, Paul knew that he was going to die very soon. And he began to instruct his son Timothy about what to do. Are we there? He said, I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall what? Judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. We're expecting his appearing. Let's move on. Next verse. Please follow me closely. Preach the word. Let's go. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Next verse.
For the time will come, say, for the time will come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Next verse. Verse 4. Next verse. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That is being fulfilled as we speak. Next verse. But, this is where we're going to. But, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and as he said, do the work of what? An evangelist. Why? So you can make full proof of thy ministry. He had told him, given him a message for the church, because he was the bishop of the Ephesian church. He said, preach the word. Be instant in and out of sin. So in closing that verse, he said, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist so that you can make full proof of your ministry. That means if you don't do all the things he stated from verses 1 to that place, you will not make full proof of your ministry. So I put it there. God wants us to do the work of an evangelist. And it's very simple. Not that we don't know, but I believe God brought it to me because we have entered that season. And it's the actual practicing that will begin to see manifesting of the glory in our lives. You see, it's not going to be, it may not be, I don't know, I'm not God. The Bible says that the Son of Man will come in an hour that you think not. As I was back there praying and asking God, because I wasn't sure, Lord, there's no Jim message about this. It seems so simple. And the Lord spoke to me. He said that we're in the sixth hour. The sixth hour or the sixth day is the hour that God created man. But if you look at the story of how the Gentiles came in, talking about Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Peter, it was the sixth hour. And he said something, you have to be hungry for souls. Say, let us be hungry for souls. Let me explain what I'm trying to say, you can understand. This is what God spoke to me. He said we should be hungry for souls in this sixth hour. John chapter 4, verse 6. If you remember the background of the story, the master was hungry. So he sent his disciples out. I should go and get something to eat. But by the time they came back, he said, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the what? The sixth hour. Next verse. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. It was the sixth hour. And that was the time that he spoke to the Samaritan woman who was not a Jew. Even though the time was not yet. He said that I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But as we read this discourse, later he told the disciples, he said that, look, say ye not, there are 4 hours to the harvest. Say the harvest is ripe already. What are we saying? Don't wait for a physical manifestation. Begin to reach out to the lost. And then God will confirm his word with signs following. Why? Because it was in the sixth hour that this occurred. Let's look at Peter. Acts chapter 10, verse. Okay, before, let's look at, I put verse 8 here. Verse 8, what does verse 8 say? Verse 8 of this same verse. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent, back to John chapter 4, verse 8. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So you see, it was a natural thing that was going on. But Lord spoke to me. So about the sixth hour, the master was hungry. So through that avenue, that hunger, God gave him what he needed that would satisfy him. It was in this context that he said, my meat is to do will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We should be hungry for souls. We should be hungry for souls. Let's look at Apostle Peter. The same thing happened when he went to the top of the house to pray. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Acts 10, 9. You know the story about how Cornelius came to the kingdom. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray. So we are not like this prayer. But when was it? About the sixth. Next verse. What happened to him in the sixth hour? The same that happened to the master. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Then they came and they took him to the house of Cornelius. What am I saying? We are as a body of Christ in the sixth hour. It's a time to be hungry for the salvation of souls. Praise the Lord. So, I put it here. I say, God wants us to do the work of an evangelist. And it's very simple. We do this work of an evangelist as to perfect the love of God in our lives. And in the midst of all our daily activities. That is, we are not supposed to wait We don't do it consciously, but do it unconsciously. We're not supposed to wait till love of God is fully perfected before we start evangelizing and talking to people about salvation. It is as you do that and daily perfect God's love in your life that you begin to reach out to people in your circumstances, in your sphere of influence, and begin to reach out to them. You see, because when the water begins to trickle from the dam in Ezekiel, from the temple, it starts as a trickle, rather, before it becomes a mighty ocean. You don't expect the thing to just bust. Boom. You see, you know why? If peradventure we are not doing it, I can assure you that people that have already started doing it, you're going to start a little at a time. It's like a seed, like the Bible talked about the kingdom. It's as you start, then you see, as you practice and practice and practice, how come do you want to speak to 1,000 people when you have not even spoken to your neighbor or your driver? You're going to see what I'm trying to say. When I sat down, I was thinking about this thing. I found out that, you see, God brings people away as you do your normal daily praying. Because just like I said, no man can come unto his Father except what? My Father drawing. So it is not you that draws them, it's the Father that draws them. Now, who is the Father? But the God is love. So as you perfect the love of God, at whatever level you are, God begins to draw people your way. Into your circumstances. The house self. The one that will steal. The one that has a terrible attitude. Most times when they come, we send them away. Ah, you can't walk here. I don't want to see you again. No. Paul didn't do that. We'll see as we continue. Let me just continue. So let's look at these things a little bit closely. Who is an evangelist? An evangelist is a member of the fivefold ministry gifts that God has given to the body. Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11. And he gave some, apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. But you see, he's not saying that you should become an evangelist, because God calls people to these special offices. But saying, do the work. Say, do the work. Do the work of an evangelist. So we need to know what the work of an evangelist is. Next verse. Say, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the word of Christ. That's what he's saying. Pastor explained this before. He said, as the saints are perfected, they will do the work of the ministry. Which part of the work is evangelization? Amen. Are you following me? It's very important. Praise the Lord. So I put it here to make it very simple. They are fishers of men. Say, fishers of men. Fishers of men. That is, they are the work of an evangelist is to fish men. Are you following me? From the multitude that is out there. And I was checking the dictionary. I just put the dictionary. I said, what is the dictionary defines evangelism as spreading of the Christian gospel by the public preaching or personal witness. So you see, the evangelist has a part to play. The pastor has a part to play. All the five folks have a part to play. They can share bring an evangelistic message. But see, as they bring that message, we take that same message to our daily life and what we do. So by saying, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Are you following me? So I believe that is what God wants us to do. He wants us to all do the work of an evangelist. Why? Because we're in the sixth hour. That is the hour that God wants us to hungry for souls. I remember in those days, you know, I read about John Knox. You know, who pray and say, give me Scotland or I die. Father Nash used to excite me and say, God, what kind of people are these? They just will do anything. That's why Paul said something. You see, and we must become like that. And that's what love of God will make you do. You see, I will link love to evangelism now. It's very important. He said, to the Jew, I became a Jew. To this, I became that. He said, that I win some. So you could become all things that you might win more people to Christ. So you go to the mechanics workshop. And they have maybe, let me just give an example. And they come and they offer you something, like maybe they buy some food or groundnut and so. And you are looking for an opening to talk to them. That is not the time to say, how can you buy this kind of groundnut? It's not hygienic, even though it's true. You take it, you eat it, so you identify with them. And you take advantage to share with them. Are you following me? So let's move. I don't want to. So we look at Lord Jesus Christ at the well. I've already mentioned it in passing. It was that sixth hour that God opened the door for him to speak to the Samaritan. It was that sixth hour, the hour of prayer, that Peter was on the top of the house and he was praying. Bible said he was hungry. And why? God just used that natural thing to point something to him. and he sent people from the house of Cornelius, the second set of Gentiles. So God is talking to us and saying the same thing to us today. John chapter 4, verse 34. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John chapter 4, verse 34. You see, in that context, where we were reading from, I don't have time to turn there. We're witness to the woman at the well of Jacob's well. It's a continuous discourse, but I don't have time to turn there. You know, after they went, they met him talking with the Samaritan woman, and they told him, is your girl no more hungry, paraphrasing? And he said something to him. I said, this was his reply, because he now brought food. And he said something very important. Let's read together. And Jesus said unto them, who are them? His disciples, Peter, James, and John, that had gone to get something for him to eat. So he said, and Jesus said unto them, my meat is what? To do the will of him that sent me, one, and to finish his work, two. So the will here is not necessarily the same thing as the work. But reading context, you understand what I'm trying to say. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, one, and then to finish his work, two. Next verse, it begins to talk about that will. Say ye not, say not. Can you see? There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He was telling disciples. At that time, the Gentiles were not supposed to come in. So when they saw him talking to the Samaritan woman, who gave Oga food? Then now said, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, one, and then to finish his work. Now, what is the will of God? The will of God for us, which was also for me, is the perfection of the love of God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ grew in wisdom and in stature, having favor with God and with all men. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, you know, it says that he learned obedience by the things which suffered. So he kept on growing. How was he growing? He was maturing in the love of God. That was the will of God for him. And then to finish his work, which we see him talk about. When he witnessed the Samaritan woman, and next he comes out of his mouth, I said, what are you going to say? What's it? He said, say, you know, don't say in your heart that we'll start talking to you when the glory manifests. What of if they die and go to hell? Sobering question. Don't say after the glory, it is true. He will send me to the nations. But before he sends you to the nations, he has sent people to you in your circumstances, your sphere of influence. And your faithfulness in that will determine whether you ever leave where you are to go to any nation. Praise the Lord. So that is, we need to understand that. I think we read verse 35. It says that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What is the will of God? I said the will of God is the perfection of the love of God. Say the will of God is the perfection of the love of God, which the master was doing. You see, as it was growing vertically, it was also reaching out horizontally. That is what you must do. Howbeit, our horizontal growth must not exceed at any point in time our vertical growth, which has to do with growing to the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Now you understand, as you begin to grow in love, I put it in my notes here, love is like a magnet that attracts sinners. You know, like poles attract. You know, in those days, you think, I don't have anything to do with sinners. You know, unbear. No. If you're actually walking in love, God will be bringing them. That love will be bringing them. That's what the master's experience. He said that, I've come to save that which was lost. He said, ought not this child of Abraham be saved today? Praise the Lord. So let's just put some scriptures behind this to see about this love of God. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Romans 13, 10. Help me, Lord. Say, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is what? The fulfilling of the law. Perfection. So those two things are important. We've been taught so much about this first aspect. We must not neglect this second aspect. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, just to put some scriptures behind it. So we don't think that we have missed God. We are not missed God. We are in the perfect will of God. By perfecting the love of God. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, just to put some scriptures behind this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul was saying, for this is the will of God. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Let's stop there and let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the will of God. Going on to the fullness of Christ. Am I right? Are you following me? So that is the will of God that we should continue to tenaciously follow after. We cannot allow to do. But the other aspect, my meat is to do the will of him who has sent me, going to perfection, and then to finish his work. What is that work? The work of evangelism. Reaching out to the lost, those that are in our circumstances, those that God brings to us. You see, and I dare say there's so much to share with them, even with unbelievers, and even Christians, rather. Even Christians, you can share the love message in such a simple way. There has to be two tracks that we are given in those days, you know, about getting born again and perfecting the love of God. Those are tools that we need to equip ourselves with and go around. Because I mean, there might be times that you know, not be talked to people. But it is just a word there. Because you see, when I was preparing this message, I was led to study Pastor's Weekly Rhema about 2007 about spirit-led evangelism. It's not something you do in the flesh. But you see, you do it in the spirit. But you see, it's how do we do it? Once you pray in the morning regularly and you are walking in the spirit, you find out that God will begin to bring people your way. But I discovered my own experience has brought many people my way. And like, as far as I'm concerned, he comes to work. He's being paid his salary. He does not disturb me. I don't disturb him. Then it's okay. No, it's not. God has brought them there for a purpose. We'll see as I continue. So don't leave these things and then just say, okay, it's okay. And then if we were to ask ourselves, in the past 2 or 3 months, how many people have witnessed to somebody about Christ? In the past 4 months. Don't say, my conduct. The conduct should be the foundation. I'm not taking that away from us. But how many of us have been bold enough to open our mouths? Talk to you about Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation unto them that believe. You must not be ashamed. You must not be afraid. Praise the Lord. So, let me read the scripture to confirm what I just said. So I said, God wants us, his children, to do the work of an evangelist as a perfect love of God. You see, I mentioned, like, see that scripture that we quote in Ephesians, it is as the saints are perfected that they begin to do the work. You're not going to be perfected before you start the work. It's as you are perfected that you do. The disciples under the master were not perfected, and they did the work. So we don't have to wait till, okay, when I'm perfect, there's no more sin nature in my soul and body, then I'll start the work. No. People will die and go to hell. And will be held accountable. So, let's look further at this. I put it here, I said, it is God that draws men, I measured it, into the kingdom. And he does it through our prayers, witnessing to them by conduct and by our word, when we speak to them. John chapter 6, verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44. The Lord just as was talking. So we can know that it is God. But the question we ask is this. Is God, has he stopped drawing people to himself after the Lord Jesus went to heaven or the Acts of Apostles? Has he stopped drawing people to himself since we read about the early revivalists like Charles Finney? Has he stopped? He has not stopped. But you see, we must not go to sleep. The Bible says, like the sun that sleeps during the harvest. Or else, like that story I just mentioned in the Bible to you. During the time of Solomon. If you fall asleep, the baby you have given birth to, the other woman that slept on your own baby, will carry that baby. That will not be a lot and portion in Jesus' name. So the master said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And raise my hands. That is, what I want us to take care of. It is God that draws men. It is God that draws men to Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, in the book of John, Lord Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict men of sin. He doesn't condemn them. He will convict them. But you see, he draws men to himself. Why? And I said that just as I was speaking, who is God? God, the Bible says God is love. Right or wrong? So we can equally say that love, it is no man can come unto me unto if I accept love draws them. So it is the love of God that draws men. You follow me? So the more the love of God is perfected, the more people God can draw. So it does not matter wherever you are. If you just started, there will be some people that God will draw into you. Now you understand why it says captains of tens, of 50, of hundreds, and of thousands. Depends on your spirit capacity, how mature you are in love. One of us also says, at whatever level you are, as long as you are perfecting love, God will be drawing men to you. And as he's drawing them to you, don't be ignorant. Don't be waiting for something big to happen. and then ignore what it's doing. The Bible says, thou shalt not despise the day of small beginnings. Praise the Lord. So I said, God is love. So I said, love, that love is like a magnet. So that magnet gets stronger the more you perfect the love of God. So it can draw men. It will bring them from different places. You see, and the master said something. He said he made a feast and said people didn't come. He said, go to the highways and the byways. You see, you'll be amazed at people that God will send to you. Either you're in school, wherever, well, he will send different people to you. People that you, because you can't see the heart. But God can see the heart. Up to the last minute on the cross, God was just sending people to Lord Jesus Christ. He sent the two thieves to him. And he was always waiting there, his last breath. That's why I said, you do not the hour which you mourn, son of man, comment. There are some times that God will bring some people your way you will not even know. It's happened to me many times. I don't want to give many examples. It's happened to me many times that God will not have to correct me. There was a time long ago, a friend of mine came down from abroad, and you know, in those days, no job, nothing, any. I call long story short. I was just walking. I think I was Pastor Wiga. We were walking to somewhere to go and pray over a house. You know, I was walking Pastor Wiga then. Okay, I was walking and, you know, I just saw the guy. I'd not seen him for over 20, I don't know, about 15 years. A friend of mine, which run around in those days. So I just looked up the balcony of the house. We were passing the house somewhere in Bodija, and I saw the guy. I said, ah! So I can't be so. So I walked there. I forgot Christianity. I forgot everything. Anyway, I saw the guy. Pastor guy went to pray over. I didn't follow him to pray over the house. I was so excited to see my friend. But throughout the period we were talking, my mind did not even go to Jesus Christ. We talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. I was self-centered, thinking about what I could get. So and so and so and so and so and so. At the end of the day, no problem. I went home. So the next morning, I knelt down to pray. And God now spoke to me. The Holy Spirit said, you didn't even ask. It didn't occur to you that it wasn't just a coincidence. Somebody you have not seen for over 15 years just saw him all of a sudden. I did not even find out whether I was born again or not. Ah, I am Ija. So the next day, I repented. You know, there's room for it. I asked God to forgive me. So I went back to the place. And I went to, I said, okay, I'm back now. I sat down with the guy. So the first thing I said was, are you born again? You know what he said? He said, don't even talk to me about Jesus Christ. I don't believe there is God. Ah! I'm telling you, true story. And I said, if I couldn't talk, I said, I just said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Anyway, call long story short. He didn't allow me to talk to him. He said, I should leave. You know, that doesn't believe there is God and all that nonsense. Don't talk. It's a different thing if he says he's not born again. But he says there's no God. He said, don't even talk to me. It was really angry, don't even, if that's what you come, just leave. So I left. So I knew why God took me there. So I went on my knees, I stepped on praying. The last time I saw him, I went to see him again. I don't think he's around now. I started talking to him. He welcomed me. He didn't get born again, but he was saying, it's true. But what am I saying? At times, God takes us to different places. And because we are self-centered, we forget. And people just slip by our hands. That will not be a portion of Jesus. So why is this message very important? Not a long message. Why? Because we are in the season of the end time harvest and the manifestation of the glory of God. We all know that. John chapter 4 verse 35, we read it earlier. I can put it on the board. Say ye not. That the harvest is 4 months. Don't say, okay, the glory is going to manifest. When it manifests, I'll begin the harvest. No. The harvest is ripe. Those that are around you that don't know God, they are the harvest that God has brought your way. Are you following me? Verse 35, he said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Next verse. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sweat and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know the story. He said, you know, I've sent you to reap where you do not labor. There are two aspects in evangelism. There are those that labor and those that reap. I will explain as I go on. But what I'm saying here is that look, we are in that season of the harvest. So don't say until you see the cloud, glory cloud appear, I won't talk to somebody. No. People may sleep by and die and go to hell. Don't say it's not possible. It's happening every day. I will read something to you that I read from a vision that Lord showed Kenny taking, because I was tired meeting. God started sharing some business with me. Ezekiel chapter 47 verse 10. Ezekiel 47 verse 10. were in the season of the harvest and the manifestation of the glory of God. I read Ezekiel 47 verse 10, talking about the water that issued out of the temple. And when it got to a place that nobody could swim over. But just take this verse out of it. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto Engline. There shall be a place to, there shall be a place to spread forth nets. They spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. As I say, evangelists are fishers of men. I'm going to tie this thing to love. Pastor, I said, this year is the year of the completion of God's government. And mommy said that, look, it's a year, a season of Rehoboam, where God wants to enlarge our room. Say, enlarge your tents. As God wants us to make room for new people to come in. And it's going to come by the completion of the government of God. Because that net there is the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a net that is cast into the sea. So he's talking about the kingdom of God. So he says, as you grow in the love of God, which is the perfection love of God, then you can now throw that net and begin to bring them in at your own individual, at a working place or wherever you find yourself. Praise the Lord. So, Jude chapter 20, okay, I've read that. And also, to tie that to this, we are in that season that the plowman will overtake the reaper. The plowman are those that have been praying, laboring with travail in prayer to get. You see, you can't get somebody born again if you don't travel. So many people don't do that. But you find many reapers who go into a place that they have not sown. Bible says that those that go forth weeping, that's bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless return with sheaves. So there are people that don't go forth. I find it, just go forth with the seed. But there are people that are weeping, crying in intercession, strong crying. Yes. As they are crying, they are carrying precious seed. That's what you do every morning. But they shall doubtless return with sheaves rejoicing. Praise the Lord. So that season, Amos chapter 9 verse 13, it says that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the trader of gains if thou soweth seed. So in that season that the plowman will overtake those that have been traveling in prayer. You're now going to combine your intercession with the reaping of the end time harvest. And like that week, my pastor shared about Lord Jesus Christ when he spoke to Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman went and spoke to the people. Then when the master went there, spent 2 days there, and they said, now we actually believe. Not because of what he has said, who was the type of the reaper, but because of we have now seen you personally. And more people are going to Christ. Praise the Lord. The second point I have here is this. We will be held accountable if we neglect this work. This is a sobering aspect. God is going to hold you and I accountable. We don't have any excuse. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 18. We always read in the context of God talking to Ezekiel. God whispers to us all the time. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 18. Are we there? It says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. You see, this does not mean that the Christian that does not evangelize will go to hell, but it's going to affect his reward. You see, it's not your disobedience in the area of evangelism that sends you to hell. No, I don't think so. It's not accepting Jesus Christ. But you see, when he begins to send you to people and you pretend as if you didn't hear, he says that I will require his blood at your hand. Praise the Lord. So bearing boys, so Jude 20, which verse 23. Because this thing is done by intercession. But ye beloved, build up yourself on your most holy prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Next verse. And of some, have what? Compassion, making a difference. Next verse. And others, save what? With fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So you can see, it starts from perfecting the love of God. It ends to saving of people that are those that have been appointed to death. Praise the Lord. I put the scripture I mentioned, the Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. God does not want us to sleep in this time of the harvest. We must not sleep. Are we there? He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is what? A son that causeth shame. We need to be aware of what is going on. Now, I'll put some examples here. Paul in Athens. God was talking to me about Paul in Athens, and I compared him with Lot. In Athens, Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Athens. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. He was telling me when I was in the room that day, in the sitting room, after prayer, I was saying, you don't feel one kind when you see people around you misbehaving. It doesn't, you are like, you see people, your staff, it doesn't vex your spirit, not in a negative way, condemn them, but to try and reach out to them. So he now quoted the scripture to me. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was what? Set up in him. When he saw the whole city, the city only given to idolatry, it troubled his spirit. Not to criticize them, but he moved them to action. And you know the story, I don't have time to turn there. Something troubled him. Because he knew that, look, that's why he said, woe unto me if I don't preach gospel. It should be like that for every one of us. It should be like that. If it is not like that, then let's look at the life of Lot. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. That could be your working place. I don't care where you walk. It could be in a bank. People misbehaving, you know. And Sodom, and Lot seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. See, Lot was here. But as we know that story, God could not find 10 people when Abraham was interceding outside. And he was set to be destroyed. The question is this. God didn't want to destroy these people. Lot will give an account to. He will give an account to God. Let's read verse 12. See what happened. It got so bad. It would not be like Lot. And the man said to Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law? And thy sons and thy daughters and whatever thou hast in the city, bring them out to this place. Verse, next verse. That's the angel that told Lot. Say, we are going to destroy this place, but we want to save them. Don't you have people here? Next verse. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is worse great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Next verse. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. Which were married to his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But it seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. That is what happens when you've not been living a life of godly conduct. And I want to go and talk to get born again. You that you just did this yesterday. They won't listen to you. So you can imagine that kind of lifestyle that Lot was living. He could not even save anybody. Sons-in-law, they all perished. But the issue is this, God did not want them to perish. So it can either be like Paul, when you're in that situation, something stirs up in you. You start thinking, God, this is as you begin to think, God, how can I get across to this, my boss? Lord, you start pondering, I've been the way the Lord led me. Then God will not drop you something. It's spirit led. It's not something that you have to say, get born again or you go to hell. No, it's not always like that. Times is like that. Not always like that. It may be, we'll see some examples that I continue. How the master spoke to the Samaritan woman. But see, the issue was that the master was ready. He understood the purpose at that time. The will of God to grow to perfection, to mature in love, and then to finish the work he has given him. Praise the Lord. The other example again is like, just put it there in passing. Paul. The book of Philemon. I think about this. God brings people your way. Your classmates, different people. Some of them, even by the way they dress, they irritate you. Oh, this one nonsense, rubbish. Ah, my kokoban. You know, we are so holier than thou. I mean, God has brought the person for you to minister to. So I put it here. There was a boy, a man called Onesimus. To Philemon, Onesimus was a thief. But to Paul, it was somebody else. Paul saved him. So people can bring people your way. They can even do things that hurt you. I'm not saying don't discipline them. I'm not saying, you see, that's why it's by the Spirit. But always remember that no man can come with the Father except my Father draw him. And when God begins to draw, when love draws, he's not going to draw people that you expect him to draw. So you don't think he's going to draw somebody just exactly like you, that dresses like you, that talks like you, that sleeps like you, that does everything. No. He's going to draw people that if you don't really think properly, in fact, you will say, just go away. I don't want to see you. And you never know, you might be saving an apostle. You might be saving an evangelist. Just by that word. When God sent Ananias to go and talk to Paul, he said, God, I can't go. This guy has been killing people. That is, God is a murderer. If that means if God did not speak, but Bible said, okay, but God, I will go. How can you send me to a murderer? That is like God saying, go and do join prisons evangelism. So I mean, I can't go there. God, I want to go and talk to the governor. It's not wrong talking to the governor, but is that who he sent you to? So to Philemon, Onesimus was a thief. But to Paul, he became a faithful brother. I don't have time to talk. Philippians chapter 10, verse Philippians 10. Let us read to put the scripture behind it. Philippians 10. Philemon. I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten. Next verse. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profit to me and to thee and to me. Next verse. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. That is my own bowels. You see how Onesimus slipped to the hand of Philemon. Thank God Paul was there. So I mentioned this aspect. I just read it. I went to check. God let me check. I believe in visions, you know. The vision that God gave Papa Egan, you know, in 1915, Rockwell, Texas. And he showed him a soul winner's crown. And I read what he said. At least we believe that Papa Egan is our spiritual father, one of our spiritual fathers. Said, Lord, I showed him that crown. He said, and Lord told him, he was describing the crown. He said, he called it soul winner's crown. He says, this crown was extraordinarily beautiful that no human language cannot begin to describe it. Now, Lord just spoke to Papa Egan. He said, this is a soul winner's crown. I was holding the crown. My people are so careless and indifferent. This crown is for every one of my children, not only the evangelists or those called into public ministry. I say, speak and say, go speak to this one or pray for that one. But my people are too busy. They put it off and souls are lost because they will not obey me. I read long ago, God brought it back to my remembrance. You see, if it's only the evangelist that wear the soul winner's crown, then God is partial. That means if you are not an evangelist, you can't get that crown, right or wrong. So for everybody. So we are talking here about the aspect of going to talk to people, witnessing those that God brings to your sphere of influence. And I put it here. It is our responsibility to take the initiative in bringing the gospel to friends, to neighbors, and to our co-workers. So you don't want to wait till they resign and go. Then you are begging, please don't go. I say, I'm going. When they do something wrong, then you are so eager to send them away. You now understand why the master could not send them away. Mind you, the disciples were not born again. If they had died before the day of Pentecost or before he resurrected, they would have gone to hell. He said, of all you have given me, I have kept them, and I have lost none. That means you could lose them. Yeah. If he said, I have not lost them, telling the giving master a report, that means it is possible to lose them. He said, except the son of perdition. So you can imagine when things happened and the master just, Omomora. When Peter would say something silly, he would keep quiet. But, your salvation is more important to me than these three tamalakus you are talking about that you want to breed. Or Judas. Your salvation is more important to me than whatever you are stealing from the bag. Omomora. You see, because if you look back, assuming that Jesus Christ is not his fault, wherever Judas is today, it's not the master's fault. You see, whatever somebody is doing to you today, I'm not saying you shouldn't discipline people. I think, but what I'm saying, whatever they are doing to you today, you should put their salvation above them. Like mommy will say, what is the price you can pay for a soul? Whatever the person took from you today, in 10 years' time, it will be nothing. If you take 1 naira or 2 naira, or those who stole the meat from the cooking pot, your house self, are you following me? And you send the person away. In best, God forbid, I'm not saying it's stealing of chicken that sends people to hell. But the person does not go to get born again and eventually dies and goes to hell. In heaven, that chicken, you can't beg God and say, God, I'm sorry about this. Because God brought him your way. Can you imagine, I keep saying it, the rich man is still in hell today. Yes, sir. It's going to be here tomorrow. You see, in that vision, God, when he took and taken and told him that experience, after he told him everything, he told him, he said, go and warn people. Talk to them. And then he now took him the second time to hell. He now took him to hell. He said, when he got to, as we were approaching hell, he said, he saw people that were in flames burning. He said, go and warn them. Papa again started crying. He said, I will do. So first of all, give him the reason to evangelize. At least if you want the soul winner's crown, okay, begin to talk to people. Say, go and warn them. Go and talk to them. Because false hell is real. You don't hear a message about hell again. Hell is real. Compromisingly is the tree of life. Please, can you change this microphone? The fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is the tree of a microphone. See, that's what Satan does when he doesn't want people to hear the word. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay. See, the fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is the tree of life, and he who is wise captures human lives for God as a fisher of men. Praise, thank you, thank you for showing this. He gathers and receives them for eternity. It's for eternity. See, I don't want to give too many examples because it takes too much time, but too many examples. If I look at my own life, if I had died before 1990, I would be in hell today. I will be. Because I knew the kind of person I was. But thank God, you find those SUs in Ife, they will come and talk to me. The first thing that shook me in my life was we had a band, and we used to play reggae music, jump up and down all the old place. So there was this guy, he used to play for us, called him Baba 70. I heard he's an evangelist now. I've forgotten his name. Ah, God have mercy on me. I've forgotten his name. He used to play keyboards. He could play a fella like this. He was shaking his head like this, cigarette in his mouth. Jumping about the old place, God will learn. Play. The first thing that happened was he got born again. Bah! I think it was Christ Love Fellows. They snatched him from us. Then our guitarist is dead now. But he got born again. Morax. He used to play the guitar. Bah! They snatched him. Well, what's wrong with all of you? By myself, Goke Koka. And then I see one more now to get born again. Goke Koka is born again now. He's assistant pastor to Ade Francis, in Lagos. Then God grabbed me. There's still one we're trusting God for. What am I saying? If while we were jumping up and down at that time, people did not talk to me, people did not pray for me, I would have done and have gone to hell. But I didn't go to hell. Thank God, I'm not going there. So what are we saying? So that is very important. Then the third point I have is this: because God is not willing that any should perish. That is very important. God does not want any human being to perish. And we quote that scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16. We quote it all the time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. We quote it all the time. Unbelievers know it. But are we bold enough to share with them? Not to condemn them, but like I said, the Spirit led. There are ways that God can lead you to talk to them. It can be, a kind of act of kindness, then give them the tract, or now social media is so easy, you can send something, even the ones they can't talk to, because there are some people that we can't talk to. Yeah, especially our relatives. I used to wonder, it's difficult to talk to some of my relatives, they won't even listen to me. But I say, a prophet is not without honor, saving his own something. So I was reading a book, I can't think of some days ago, quite some time ago, rather, and then Kenneth Copeland said the same thing. The Lord just appeared to Kenneth, and told him he had one, I think it was one of his uncles, who was recalcitrant, doesn't want to hear the gospel. At the end of the day, he's been fasting and praying. Then just Christ spoke to him and said, no, this is what you do. He said, didn't you read in my word? I said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into his harvest. He said, that is not your harvest. So pray that God will send a laborer to that man. In a few months' time, the guy got born again. Same thing with Kenneth Copeland. Lord spoke the same thing to him. He said, pray. He said, I am the Lord of the harvest, so I will send the laborer. So just as God is sending you to people that you don't know, I get him. He's also sending people, but you must ask. And then when I send them, please go and talk to this my brother. I don't know if he won't listen to me. God knows he won't listen to you. So we'll send somebody to him. And pray. He said, pray ye. So prayer is important. So God knows. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We'll soon stop now. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a very simple message, but I believe God wants us to begin to practice. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, but not willing that any, should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all. Say all. So think about the somebody that you know is very wicked, like Nebuchadnezzar. God wasn't willing that he should perish. Manasseh. So you can understand why Nebuchadnezzar will be doing what he's doing day after day until God met him. I cannot understand, you cannot understand the long suffering of God walking through Daniel. He didn't call fire down to kill him the next day. If they had called fire down, the guy had died, he would have gone to hell straight away. So that's why you find out that at times God will allow you want to do something because they don't sack him, forgive him. Just wash his feet and move on. But God, he did this. God said, keep quiet. You have that thing, just ask, check. Just leave him. Just leave him. Praise the Lord. Now, last point I put here, I already mentioned in passing, point number four, is that God wants to enlarge the place of our tents so that he can give us the healing for our inheritance. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. We already know that scripture. That is where we are now as a body. We are expecting the glory to manifest. But Master is saying, say ye not, there are 4 months to harvest. Say, see, your workplace, your home, wherever you find yourself, the field is white, ready for harvest. Say, then enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of our habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. Next verse. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Next verse. I think I have one more verse to go. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy youth anymore. God wants to enlarge our tents. Why? Because we are in the season of the harvest. Now you understand the story of that rich man. When he saw that his things brought forth, before he harvested, he said, now I will pull down my barns and build another. You see, God wants to enlarge. This is already started by the good money just prayers that we do every morning. He wants to enlarge. Enlarge. You know, it's not just this physical building. I believe we are going to come to a place in this body of Christ, this local body of Christ, that this place will not be able to contain the people that are coming in. That people begin to break this roof and come down when they can't find a place to enter. Say, enlarge the place of our tents. So let them stretch forth the curtains of our habitations. Spare not. Say, don't spare. Use every available media to communicate the gospel to people. Very important. Second Psalm 2. Say, you shall inherit the Gentiles. Psalm 2 verse 8. Psalm 2 verse 8. Says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the healing for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Each time we come to pray every day, and I sit down here, and I look at that thing, I say, God, have mercy on me. I will take my eyes off again. Maybe you guys, you back it, but I face it every day we come to pray. Hey, stop! Look and listen. Someone is missing. Your neighbor. Very true. We are written epistles to all men. Are you a book that is well read? So God wants us to begin to go out. He wants to enlarge the place of our tent. So you can understand as I begin to round up. When Pastor came and said earlier on the year that we shall see the part of it, not everything. It has different aspects. But this aspect I believe God brought to my mind about this personal evangelism. He said that it's a year of the completion of God's government. What is God's government? The kingdom of God. Pastor said, the kingdom of God is within. Are you following me? So how are we going to do it? Mommy came and said, God is going to make room for us. Room in terms of what do you put in? You have to put something in the room. Just don't have a room. Because then Bible says that look, if you clean out your house, it's empty and garnished. He said the enemy will come there. So when God's making room for making room. God is making room because he wants to bring in the harvest. Second, he said, you're going somewhere in Isaiah. He said, God, say, who has given birth to this? Isaiah, I can't remember. He said, who has given birth to this? He said, this one that I've lost. God has, God wants to bring back people. You see? This is what God wants to do. And it's very simple message, but I don't want to give too many examples. I found out in my life that, you see, most times I'm so not scared. I say, Lord, am I going to talk to him again? God, please let me go. The thought will come to me like a nudge. But I will say, God, kill him first, but I kill him also. What am I going to say? And then at times, not all the time, I will start talking. I will just begin quietly, before I know it. And I know I talk too much. Before I know it, I've been talking. And then to my surprise, some of them will say, oh yeah, Pastor, pray for me. Some of them will say, I'll go and think about it. But the response, what I was expecting was not what I got. I thought they would say, please, don't even talk to me at all. And I'll mention three areas we can move forward. See, there's always something to say. You see, we can witness to them about getting born again. We can witness to them about being filled with the Holy Spirit, Christians. I follow me. And then we can also witness about the perfection message to them. So you have three things you are carrying all the time. You're always looking for that opportunity that comes to you, that comes away. Now, how do we do this? By following him. Say, by following him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. That's why I said we've been on the right path. We've been doing this thing, walking in love, waking up in the morning and praying. What is it? Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Help me, Lord. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So the condition for becoming fishers of men is to follow him. Are you following me? Which we are doing already. Says, follow me. Let's say, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. That means they were not fishers of men before. This tells us something. He was trying to tell them that, look, becoming fishers of men is not physical. That is, Peter, I know you can fish properly, but it's not the physical ability that will get men into the kingdom, except when you follow me. Verse 20. Yeah. And straightway, they did what? They left their nets and they followed him. So the first thing we need to do when we follow is to leave our nets, which is practically again what happens when we go born again. After you start, you, like I said, the net you are talking about here, you know, is a type of a kingdom. You first of all learn to follow him. How do we follow him? By taking up our cross daily through self-denial in order to perfect the love of God in our daily lives. You can link this back to what the master said. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, which is the perfection of the love of God, and to do his work. So when you follow him, you are taking the first step, which is what we do every day when we pray in the morning. You don't say, we don't pray for souls. No, you see, the Bible says, we know not what you pray for as you ought to. Anytime you are praying in the morning, you are praying far beyond what you may be praying about what you are going to do that day. God protect me, I'm traveling. God provide for me. God do this for me. God is doing far beyond that. But you see, the thing is this. Out of that which he's doing, if you are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you think, God forbid, he may pass by like that, you will not know. Which has happened to us many times. At least it happened to me. So, and I said, how do we do that? I said, it's through our daily traveling prayer. When we wake up in the morning, the Bible says that as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. Each morning you are praying, believing part of the quarter of your prayer for that day goes to birthing people into the kingdom. Part of it goes, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. The emphasis for traveling, that scripture, is the bringing forth of children. Which is the same thing also for the growth of children. My little children of my traveling, but until Christ be formed in you. So each time you pray, have that conscience at the back of your mind that people are being born into the kingdom. Like when the first time I came to the church and I was struggling with groaning and all that, I walk like this. They were praying. They used to keep instruments somewhere there. They were praying somewhere there. So I walked and I said, what kind of praying is this? And travel. I started hearing about travel. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you were born by travel, and by travel you will prevail. I can never forget. As God told me, he said, you, what be you down. So your own is not the kind of, you can witness to people by just saying, get about the gate, don't go to hell. No. It took people that were praying. As I God, like Solomon, God took the baby and gave it to the right person. That's how God led me to this place. That's how you're going to survive. Some may get born again just by hearing the word. You know, some may get born again, but some of us, or most people, they are birthed. God gives birth to somebody praying. And God said, that's only we are going to stand. With all the things you are carrying from the world, for them to stay behind and don't overtake you again, you better get serious about traveling prayer. I won't say more than that. People want to hear testimonies of bad things. No. Forgetting the things that are behind. So, what did I say? He said that, how do we follow him? By taking up our cross daily, truth self-denial, in order to perfect love of God. I've mentioned Isaiah 66. Now, the aspect of the net, if you remember, I read Ezekiel. He said that fishermen shall stand what with their nets. Are you following me? So, let's look at this aspect of the net. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. Stop. What is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? Anytime you read the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, it's the same thing. You see, Matthew in those days, you could not pronounce Yahweh like you pronounce. It was so sacred. So instead of Matthew calling, I think it was Matthew saying the kingdom of God, he mentioned heaven. Because in those days, you can't just come and say Yahweh like that. They used to wash, do all kinds of, because they mentioned it. So the same thing, the kingdom of heaven is kingdom of God. Which Paul says, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So let's read in that context. So the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost is like what? Unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered what? Of every kind. See, next verse. Humanity. Which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So the kingdom we're talking about here, that God is going to use to bring in the harvest, the same thing we're talking about, the fullness of God's government. I follow him. Is this net that God is going to throw. And we all have that net at different measures, which is to level the degree to which you are growing in the love of God. I follow him. I tell an experience as I go on. Next. Okay. And I'll give an example of Peter's life. The master told him, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But before that incident, Peter had been fishing and fishing and fishing. He did not catch anything. Using this story of Peter as types and shadows. So the master told him, Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Luke 5, 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. He said, launch out into the deep. And let down your net for a draught. The kingdom of God is like a net. And I will make you fishers of men. Next verse. See what happens. Now Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, the kingdom. Are you following me? Next verse. Which is the love of God. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. You find out that when you start witnessing to people, you can't hold them. This is what happened. So when I got born again, I used to be zealous in evangelism. Anywhere I would just talk to Jesus. I would talk to people about Jesus, mechanics workshop. I would talk to them. Then I started getting ideas about starting a church. I said, I'm good. Maybe, so I would go and get tracks and distribute. Then after some time, I observed something. I would speak to mechanics today. I would sense the presence of God. They would get born again. Are you following me? I would pray for them. They would be filled with the Holy Spirit. I also do what pastor did in those days. You know, used to pray three prayers for them, get them born again, fill the Spirit, and say, tell God what you want him to do. And they will say, they won't tell me. I say, don't tell me, don't tell me. And I will pray. Then I'll go there and I say, in fact, in your Lord, give me a share. Then I will say, okay now. About a week later, I'll start talking to them. Say, maybe they are Muslim. Why the net broke? Strong men retain riches. So I sat down and I reasoned out. I said, I can't do this thing. No. So I said, the best thing for me to do is to be inviting them to church where there is somebody. As Peter can, they have a capacity, their parents, to hold them. It takes spiritual power to hold, to retain your fish. When the net breaks, what happens? The fish will jump out now. That was at the beginning of Peter's ministry. Let's go to John chapter 21, verse 6. At the end, something happened with the nets. And he said unto them, cast thy net to the right side. You know what the right side is? When you begin to pray with travel. Are you following me? I don't have time to turn there. They cast thy net to the right side of the ship, and shall find. They cast therefore. That's true intercession. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Next verse. Next verse. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he got his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. Next verse. Next verse. And the other disciple came in a little before they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Next verse. Now, see what I'm going to say. Okay, two more verses. Go. Next verse. Next verse. Jesus, no. Take it back. Am I? Simon went up. 11. Let's go to 11. 11. Thank you. 11. Simon Peter went up and drew nets to the land, full of great fishes, and 153, and all, for there were so many. Yet, let's get read what. Yet was not the net broken. So you see why the church has not been able to keep the harvest. The net has been breaking. The kingdom, the love of God, has not been perfected. So we've not been able to keep that harvest. So when Peter threw the net the first time and he caught fish, the net broke. The kingdom in Peter was not yet mature. So the master said, follow me, follow me, follow me. If you don't want the net to break, I will make you fishers of men. At the end of his life, when he resurrected, the same thing. He said, now cast your net onto the right side, the place of intercession. And they threw down the same net, and they even caught more. And John, the apostle of love, remarked and said, look, he said, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Like I said at the beginning of the message, this is the end of the message. Like I said at the beginning of the message, the Lord spoke to me while I was preparing. I said, a very simple message. Look into your life, your circumstances, your place of work. As long as you are walking in love, God is drawing men to you. You don't have to wait till the love of God is perfected or the glory manifests before you start talking to people. Or it can slip you by. You will take the mercy of God, like he did for Onesimus, to save somebody that slipped through Philemon's hands. So even though the kingdom, the net is not perfect yet, witness to them. Tell them about the hope of your calling, what you believe at different levels. You are born again. Ask the Holy Spirit. This is good about it. If you ask the Lord, he will tell you. Many times he will tell me. At times I always delight in going to visit people in the hospital. I was going to visit somebody recently and I was saying, Lord, this person is born again. I know the husband was strong. I was going. I said, I'm going again. I told my wife, let's pray. I said, what do I tell this person? As I finished praying, Lord said, minister at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ah. So I went there. I saw the woman. I sat down. I was talking to her. I said, how will I start again for God's sake? And I said, mommy, do you speak in tongues? And she was talking. She said, you know what she said? In fact, I've been wanting to do this, and I can't do it. I've tried it. Even the people that I took to fellowship, they speak in tongues. Anytime we go for fellowship, we pat in my back. Oh, yeah, speaking in tongues. I couldn't believe it. That God will whisper to me to do something. And I'll doubt him. Maybe it's just my mind. And I can count different examples, but I won't because of time. That just by asking God. You see why? Because God does not want any to perish. I follow him because it is only through us, we are his hands and his feet, I can get the message across. Now, if I said the scripture, I close with the scripture. He said something. He said, there is such joy when one sinner repented than 99 that are moving on to perfection. Yeah, that's what he meant. What in the kingdom? So, what are we saying? In summary, so we don't miss the point, is this. We daily pray in tongues and travail to perfect the love of God in our lives. And the Holy Spirit also uses this time of prayer, like I said earlier on, to get men born again. And then he now supernaturally leads us through our daily walk in the Spirit to witness to them. And we do that by our conduct, which is the foundation. The words that we speak, this is the emphasis of a message today. We must not be quiet about it. Are you following me? We must talk to them. And then use every available means to talk to them. WhatsApp, whatever. Just send something. It used to be a sticker in those days. You know, Jesus loves you and me too. You send that to an unbeliever. You have different thoughts, but you are trying to get his attention. Are you following me? You know, so I'll look at some examples. One example really, because of time. What is spirit-led? I mentioned and talked about Lord Jesus Christ, how he witnessed to the woman at the well of Samaria, at the well of Jacob's well. Also, we've talked about Peter, how God led him through a natural occurrence. He was hungry. Then God brought that vision. Are you following me? You could be in a restaurant. Something will happen. Maybe it's the person that is serving. You know, something will happen. And then you say, will you be free to come to church on Wednesday? Just that. I follow him. I find the person will come. I follow him. The last example I want to really talk about is about Philip, Ethiopian eunuch. How God orders your steps. In Acts chapter 8, verse 29. You know, after Philip, who was Bible calls an evangelist, you know, and after the people of Samaria got born again, God took him to the desert, and then all of a sudden, what am I trying to say? How God will begin to synchronize, you know, harmonize your daily walk with people that you meet every day. Bible says when he saw the Ethiopian eunuch, in verse 29, it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Mm-hmm. Next verse. And Philip ran to him. Meanwhile, God didn't tell him what was going to take place. He didn't say you're going to lead somebody to Christ. I follow him. I feel around to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, immediately he took it from my presence, understandest thou what thou readest? Next verse. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired feel that he will come up and sit with me. The question is, how come? Was it not that is God, you know, that's not a coincidence like we see in the story. God already arranged everything. Because Philip also, it was at that point that he was reading about Lord God. It was reading from Isaiah 53. That he said, how can I understand this? I follow me. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, none of them were not expecting what happened to happen. The master was hungry, was just taking it easy. Go and get food so we eat. Then all of a sudden, the master brought it. So some of this thing will happen during your weakest moments when you are tired. Same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Same thing with Apostle Peter we're reading about. He was just going to pray. Yeah, and he went upstairs to the prayer outside, and then he was hungry. He said, okay, prepare some food for me. All of a sudden, bam, God spoke to him. The last story that comes to my heart is when I'm going to the temple. You could be on your way to church in a taxi. And they were going that day as they were going. And he said, see, the young guy said, he looked at him. Then he said, silver and gold, we have none. But such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And they pulled him up. But that was the last thing they expected. That's the Bible says that the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's ask God to help us. This is not to condemn anybody, but to make us realize what is going on. That as we do the will of God by perfecting the love of God, we also remember to do the work of an evangelist, which was what Paul was telling Timothy. So I can make full proof of a ministry. So it has begun to reach out to the people that God draws to us when we walk in love daily. God draws them, you know, so we can minister to them. So we don't allow those that are drawn unto us to slip or to just pass us by. We must not. We must be sensitive. God, this is my driver. He's been working for me. Why? You can't just bring him here just to come and walk and go away. Don't be like Lot. Begin to pray. Start praying, Lord, how can I get across to this person? He's been with me for so many years. He's seen me come to church and all that and all this. But yet, he's yet to give his life to Christ. Begin to think as you ponder on these things. Now God will open that effectual door. And you must be ready with all the tools. How to live. You must know as a Christian what it means to be born again. How to lead somebody in sinner's prayer. How to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16. It said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they speak with new tongues. I can tell you today, if you speak in tongues, you can cast out devils. That's some of the fear that comes out. He said, if I lay hands on the sick and they can recover. He said that in the same light. He didn't separate one from the other. Put it on the board. Be bold about praying for the sick. That is a means of advertisement to the world. And he said unto them, go into the world and preach and publish peace. Put it in the King James. I'm used to that. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature without exception. Next verse. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You are saved, I'm saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That is very important. If men don't believe, they die and they go to hell. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. So if you speak in tongues, that means you can cast out devils. Don't be afraid. Shall stand upon serpents and scorpions and nothing but shall my enemies hurt you. Next verse. Stop serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if you speak in tongues and you see somebody that is sick, lay hands on him by faith. Since you can speak in tongues, God will honor it. If you honor that word that you are speaking in tongues, he will honor everything that is said. Next verse. And he says something. Says, so then after God has spoken unto them, he was seated up into heaven and is still there till today. And sat on the right hand of God, where we should cast our net because of intercession. Next verse. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord doing what? Working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That means we don't speak words. There is nothing the master can confirm. So it's not only by conduct. If you don't speak words, there is nothing for him to confirm. We must speak word. That's why I say, I'll preach by the feet of them that bring forth the gospel of peace. said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has another time to preach the gospel to the poor. We must speak. When you speak, then it will demonstrate. So if you keep quiet and you say you walk in love, that is good. But in addition to that, say something so the master can confirm it. Let's stand to our feet as we sing.
Increasing in me,
please put it on the
board. Flame that's burning, igniting us. Your passion for the lost, enlarge our hearts. The harvest is here, oh Lord.
One more time before we pray. Increase in us.
Increase in us the flame that's burning. Ignite in us your passion for the Lord.
Enlarge our hearts.
Enlarge our hearts. The harvest is here.
The flame that is burning.
Increase in us the flame that's burning.
Ignite in us your passion for the Lord.
Ignite in us your passion for the Lord.
Enlarge our hearts. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's put one hand on our hearts and raise the other hand to heaven. Lord, just said, John the Baptist said that he must increase and I decrease. That increase comes when we grow in the love of God. First, say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we'll have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to do the work of an evangelist by sharing the simple message of salvation to those that you draw to yourself in my sphere of influence. As I daily use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect your love in my life, I receive fresh mercy. I receive fresh grace to be bold about it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Praise the Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness.